Good morning, and welcome to Baptist Christian Church. Announcements for today. We got several different opportunities this week. Today at 10:45, we have Sunday school for all ages. We encourage you to stay for Sunday school. At 7 tonight, we have the deacons and elders meeting. Tuesday night at 6:30 is trustees meeting at the parsonage. I think Linda's cooking supper for all of them. Wednesday, and also Tuesday from 7 to 8:30 is the ladies' Bible study. Wednesday at 6:30 is the prayer meeting and Bible study. And Saturday at 7:55 is when they're leaving for the Baptist Children Home for the bike-a-thon. Be here by 8, but it says 7:55 over there. So.
Okay, do
7:55. So there's a... information there on the side. You can read different places where they need you. You can ride for 20 miles or walk for 2 miles, or you can help serve food and different opportunities there. So if you're interested in doing that, be here Saturday morning. Also, if you'd like to sponsor the bike or walk-a-thon, you can write your check out to the children's home and to give that to Pastor Rich, and he'll take that up and make sure they get it. Also, the Crusaders Club is going to be starting here before too long in the fall, and the sign-up sheet, they need help in different areas, so if you'd like to help there, they sure appreciate your help. Also, just keep in your prayers for all the ones that were in the storm last night in Indianapolis where the tent blew down, and Lindsay was there, and we're thankful that she's okay, and she even was on the TV giving the interview, so we're thankful for her safety. Memory verse for today is Mark 9:23. Everything is possible for him who believes. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship, and we are glad for all the blessings that God has given us, for the protection that he affords us. Would you please put or keep Louise Pentlin in your prayers? Friday she was taken to Howard County Hospital, and she is not doing well, and so we just would ask that you would keep her and family in your prayers. Denny Hurd came through his hip surgery with flying colors, and so we praise the Lord for that, and now he's going through the rehab part. That's always the fun part, and so keep him in your prayers as well. There are a lot of opportunities, and you can take advantage of those. I did not tell Dave about supper, so I have nothing to do with that. He thought of that on his own, okay? Peanut butter and tomato sandwiches are fine with me. Dave, you're invited. It's good to be here. We have come to worship the Lord. He is a great and sovereign God. He has cared for us in every possible way. Let's bow now and ask him to come and speak to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, the great I Am, thank you for calling us into your presence to worship you as a family this morning, and thank you for watching over us in these past days. Thank you for the blessings that you have shared with us. And most of all, Father, thank you for our great salvation in Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from you today, and we would ask that you would help us to focus our hearts, the motives, the intents, our thoughts, on the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. We ask you to watch over us in this hour so that all that's said and done is pleasing and honoring to you. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving our tithes and offerings to you. We give them to you with a cheerful heart in the mighty saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you would, please stand for the reading of today's scripture verse and remain standing for the next hymn. Today's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 20. I went to Jerusalem and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the Jackal Well and the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem is in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began their good work. But when the Sanballat, the Hornonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, official of Gesem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." Please remain standing, and may God add the blessing to the reading of his word.
Bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we praise and honor and glorify you because you are God. And we thank you for all that you are and for who you are. And we thank you because in your sovereign wisdom, your infinite grace and mercy and love, you have called us to be your children. By the grace of your heart, you have redeemed us. You are conforming us to the very image of Christ. Thank you, Father, for those great blessings in our life, and thank you for all that you are to all of us. We would ask in these moments that the Spirit of God would be absolutely sovereign even to our thoughts. You would direct us to your word, to the hope, to the encouragement that you have for us this morning. What a great passage of Scripture you have given. Our Father, our hearts are heavy because of the loss of loved ones and because of the tragedy in Indianapolis last night. And we would just pray that you would use this to draw many people to you. We pray that you would bring comfort to those who are sorrowing. And we pray that you would bring peace and patience to those who have been injured and their loved ones and family. Father, we would just ask that even in this, you would be honored and glorified. And there are those who would seek to destroy and use this to dishonor. And we pray that they will be thwarted in their efforts. Our Father, there are those here in our congregation who are heavy in heart this morning, and you know them. You know every detail. We would just ask you to watch over Louise this morning. Bring your peace and your comfort to her. We pray that you watch over Jack and Sue and the family, and we would just ask that you would be gracious. Help them to feel the very presence of the God they love. We thank you for the great praises. We thank you for the great works that you have done. There are victories and successes, and you know them. And we thank you for bringing them even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of sorrow. We pray, our Father, that you will continue to show yourself strong in our behalf. As we turn now to the ministry of the Word of God, I would ask that you would speak. I would ask that it would be the Holy Spirit that would have sovereign control. We love you so much, Father. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory that is yours because of who you are. The mighty, matchless, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 2. turning a dream into reality. We could call this dreaming big for God. There are several things that we could call this. This is, to me, one of the most exciting passages of Scripture. Nehemiah is just a neat book. The more you get into it, the more you read, I think the more you'll like it. It teaches us just so many things. Everyone, I think, at one time or another, has had a big dream of some sort, huh? Maybe when you were a child, maybe even now. The unfortunate thing is that dreams often fail to become reality for a variety of reasons. Nehemiah and his dream and what we read of here, by any measure, was what we might phrase today extremely ginormous. It was a really big dream. And he could have easily thought when the Lord brought this to him, that's the dumbest idea I ever had, and gone on with his life. If you think about Nehemiah's life, it wasn't all that bad. He lived in the palace. He ate the king's food. He drank the king's wine. Pretty good life, as long as somebody wasn't trying to poison the king, huh? Nehemiah would have been the first to know. And that would have taken a lot of fun out of it. But he did have it easy. Things were going his way. And then, all of a sudden, here comes the Lord and says, ever thought about rebuilding the wall? And all that that brought to Nehemiah. I just wonder, there's probably nobody in here that can't think of a dream that you've had, or a dream that you still have. The question is, I wonder too, how many of you have had that dream stolen away from you, taken away from you by somebody that said, you can't do that, or somebody that said, come on, be reasonable. That's not even in the realm of possibility. You see, too many people have had their dreams stolen by someone who didn't believe in what could be done. There is a worse situation than being talked out of your dream by someone, and that is you talking yourself out of it. You stealing your own dream, saying, yeah, that's right, I couldn't do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. Oh, I'm not important enough. No, I couldn't do that. Now, that's the effect of Satan working on you. Because you see, the people in this room, if you did that, you'd do that believing God had put that into your heart, just like Nehemiah. And when it was all said and done, you'd give God the credit. Satan doesn't even want that to happen, because if that happened once, somebody else might hear of that and believe the same thing, and then, now what happened? Well, let's see. What's a good way to say that? Well, if you tell two people and I tell, well, there you go. See how that keeps coming up? Do you know that the Scriptures teach that God wants us to be successful in big things? If you deal with only your salvation and a walk with God by the world's standards, that's a big deal. To do just what God asks a Christian to do is a big deal. So could I just maybe encourage you a little bit this morning and say this? If you can go somewhere in your life and say, oh, look, a victory. God helped me through this. Then God is trying to give you evidence that you can. You can. And if you can in one little thing, and you understand that God helped you through it, the truth is you could do anything that God might set in your heart.
You see, I wonder also how many of you have ever dreamed of doing something big for God? Is there anybody that thinks, well, if I was to do something really big for God, I'd have to be a missionary, or worse yet, I'd have to be a pastor. Guy would think, well, I'd have to be a pastor. That just ain't going to happen. But have you ever thought about doing something really big for God? Well, I'd like to, but I don't know enough about the Bible. I'd like to, but people know the real me. Listen. The real you is who you are now. Not who you were, but who you are. And it's okay if they know that. Perhaps Nehemiah can help us get our dream back, maybe rekindle the dream a little bit. I have a question, another one, and I'll ask you several this morning. If it were possible for you to have your dream back, would you take it? Or have you come to the point in your life where you're willing to say, I'll just settle for whatever it is. God knows how it is. That's the way it is. And oh, well. If that's where you are this morning, beloved, I feel really bad for you. And my prayer for you is that you will let God get into your heart and sort of fan that ember that might still be there. Let's look at some things about Nehemiah given in this passage here that maybe will help turn a dream into reality. Number one, the first thing is this: God gave Nehemiah the dream. God gave Nehemiah the dream. If you're taking notes and you want to write something down, this is kind of an interesting thing to write down, okay? The only starting point for success in life at any level is God. The only starting point for success in life at any level is God. Ephesians 2:10 says that God prepared in advance for us good works that he wants us to do. Here's something that I want you to remember. So, have you got the other one done yet? Okay? You're either all still writing, you're all praying, or you're all sleeping. I'm going to believe you're all still writing, okay? The only place to begin if you want success at any level is with God. Now, you also need to remember this. If God has prepared a work for you to do, that work has to be good. You understand? If God has prepared a work for you to do, it must be a good work. God cannot prepare something bad for you. If God has placed an idea into your heart that is consistent with Scripture, that follows a walk with God, God gave you that. God planned that for you. God has it worked out. And rest assured, it is good. If you have thought about ministering in this family, I think it would be fun to, or this. I have this desire to teach, but I don't know if that's from God or not, because he knows I'm scared to talk to the person in the mirror, let alone other people. Well, if God puts the idea into your heart, I want you to understand God's already planned it, and it is a good work. That was the situation with Nehemiah. When we start to dream as a child, often before we're corrupted by naysayers who don't understand how God works. We say, I'd like to do that. And we picture ourselves doing it, don't we? And then we tell somebody and they say, well, you can't do that. And the sad thing is we have a tendency to believe them. Even some who call themselves Christians don't understand how God works. And that's why they struggle. If you want, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be successful in your Christian life, if you really want to understand how God works, then you're going to have to put some effort into studying the Scriptures. Okay? I promise you, I honestly believe that a person cannot open the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, read it, close it up, and be the same as they were before they opened it. And the reason I believe that is Hebrews 4:12 that says, the Word of God is alive. If you're reading the King James, that's what that word quick means, alive. It is powerful. And it gets into us. And that verse in essence says this, it goes beyond the very joints and marrow of our, it goes beyond flesh and blood into the heart, into the thoughts and motives and intents, into the mind, the will, the emotions, the real us, into your soul. And there's where it begins to work. And if you want to understand the God you serve, you're going to have to get into the Word, because even though it's alive and all that neat stuff, if you close it and lay on it at night, the only thing you'll probably get out of that is a headache. That's not the way God intended you to use the Word, and osmosis won't work. You need to be taking advantage of every opportunity you have to learn everything you can learn about the great God who called you to be His adopted child. And if that rubs you the wrong way, understand this. Heaven is going to be miserable for you, because all through heaven, for all eternity, we are going to be learning how God works, who He is, what He's all about. Forever and ever, part of heaven will be God revealing Himself to us. That would have been a good place for an amen. You missed it. Okay? Now, listen. Now you're smiling, okay? God is never going to stop revealing Himself to you. Thank you. Yeah, see? I want that to excite you, beloved. Nehemiah understood. God put this into my heart. I'm a little nervous about all of this. Israel is a mess. We're certainly not in a position where we've got a good reputation. I mean, after all, we're captives. We're slaves. Our center of worship is a mess. It's been 70 years since they rebuilt the temple, and that took them 20 years to do that. What a wonderful thing. Nice church. City's in shambles. Nobody to use it. God says, Nehemiah, let's rebuild the wall. How about that? God is accustomed to doing that. Comes to Noah one day, 600 years old, says, Noah, let's build an ark. A what? Comes to Moses in the back of the desert and says, Moses, guess what? I'm going to have you lead the children out of Israel. Can you hear Moses? Right. Me and what army? Just you. And God comes to you and says, I'd like to do this work through you. Really? Are you sure? I mean, God, check out who you're talking to here. And we do that because all around us, There are people telling us what we can't do, and we have a tendency to believe what people say over believing what God says. Now listen, I know that's true because you can look at a person's life. You can listen to a person talk. I love the Lord with all my... Oh, I love to read and study the Word. Really? Yes. Well, then why doesn't it show in your life? Now, there are a lot of people here who are exceptions to that rule, because it is true that they do study. You can see it, can't you? You can see a change of heart, a change of attitude, and you just know they're in the Word. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. It comes from their heart. A couple of things I want to tell you that Nehemiah understood about this. And I think one of the first truths or the first principles in success in life, and it was true of Nehemiah, number one is that a person's first allegiance must be to God. I'm going to go left a couple books to, well, actually, I'm going to go left five books to 2 Samuel chapter 21. If that is a little hard for you to do that, go to Psalm 18. Chapter 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 are the same thing. Beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 21, David says this, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. His laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him. I have kept myself from sin, and the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his sight." David is saying this: I'm blessed. I'm enjoying what I'm enjoying because my heart belongs to God. And I am not ashamed of who knows that. I live that. It means something to me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says, after Solomon writes that book, say, in essence saying this, everything in life without God is vanity, hopeless, useless, worthless. And so he comes to the end and he says, this is the whole duty of man, to love God and keep his commandments. Solomon said, God blessed me with wisdom and wealth. God blessed me with power and fame, not because that's what I sought, but because he was first in my life. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says that we are chosen in him before the creation of the world. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. When you go down into the heart of you, you go down to where you can't go any deeper, to the center of your whole life, who's number one? Who's number one? When God is first, God is then free to lead you where there are no limits. God could take a man like Nehemiah, a cupbearer to a king, put an idea into his heart, give him a vision, and say, I would like to do this through you. And do it. Does your life begin with God? That's the starting point, beloved. Your first allegiance has to be to God 100% of the time. The second thing is that a person's daily life has to show their allegiance. Okay? Your daily life has to show. People have to be able to say, God's first with them all the time. The entire book of 1 John teaches that very principle. When God gives a person a dream, he puts it into their heart, not their head. God deals with the heart. How do I know that? Well, verse 12 in the passage that we read this morning says, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but if you do, just underline that a little bit. God put into my heart. And understand, that's how God works. He puts things into your heart. And notice too, listen, God, Nehemiah said, he put it in my heart. What's the next thing say? To do for Jerusalem. Pastor, how do I know that what I'm thinking is of God? How do I know this might be God's will for me? Let me ask you a question. When whatever that is all said and done, who benefits? What is your ultimate motive for doing what you're doing? If you write the bottom line and you say, here it is, grand total, it is others oriented, it's from God. Now, listen carefully, because that's true. Nehemiah says, God put it in my heart to do it for Jerusalem. Watch. Person's first allegiance must be to God, and that allegiance has to show in their daily living. Beloved, this to me is so much fun about Scripture. God promises me as his child, I will care for you. I will meet every need you have. You are my child, I adopted you, and it is my responsibility to provide for you at the fullest possible level. It's okay to believe that, isn't it? That sounds pretty cool, okay? Do you believe God actually does that? Well, if your first allegiance is him and you're walking with him, it's personal experience. God supplies to me in Niagara portions. Therefore, God says, okay, Nehemiah, let's go rebuild the wall for Jerusalem. Okay, I'm in for that. I'd like to see Jerusalem, others, I'd like to see them prosper. Why? Because God's taking care of me fully. I don't have to worry about me. I'm taken care of. Get it? How do I know this is from God? Well, who's the beneficiary? Why are you doing it? Because more than anybody, I want them to experience more than anything, I want them to experience what I've experienced. I want them to have what I've got. I want them to taste the Lord and see that he is good. I want their life filled with blessing. Well, I've got all I can handle. I need to share some of it, okay? Did you get that? God gave Nehemiah a dream that was others-oriented because Nehemiah already knew from his daily personal life God was going to take care of him. Do you know that? Is it okay for you to dream? Is it okay for you to look toward others? Is it okay for God to speak to you and say, minister, because your daily walk with life says, I am so set. God takes care of me in such a way I can't help but share with others. Okay? Oh, I love it when you go like this. It means I understand, I've experienced it, I'm there. Praise God for that. That's the way he works. The smiles on your faces say, I know what you're talking about. It is good. The Lord is sweet. It is fun. Oh, how sad to hear people talk and hear them never, ever say anything about working for, with, or helping someone else. Oh, that's so sad. It is. God gave Nehemiah a dream. And if it's from God, it's always other focus. Now, once Nehemiah understood the dream was from God, number two, Nehemiah took appropriate action. Nehemiah took appropriate action. Another way to say that is Nehemiah did something. This is why, listen, this is where most Christians lose all possibility of seeing their dreams become reality. Now, if you're taking notes and you want a short sentence, write this down. And the reason people never, or Christians don't see their dreams become reality is this. They never go to Jerusalem. Some of you aren't old enough to have experienced this, but there are some of us in here old enough. You remember when Popeye was trying to teach Olive Oil to drive? You do. See, now I know where you are. He was trying to teach her to drive, and they were heading down the street, and he said, turn left, and she goes like this. Popeye says, turn left, and she goes like this. Did you know that only a left-hand person can do that easily? That's because we're all dyslexic. There. Well, it was your left, wasn't it? You bought into that, didn't you? He says, turn left. Turn left. And she runs right into the wall. He said, Olive Oil, I told you to turn left. And she said, well, I stuck out my hand, but the car didn't turn. Listen, you can stick your hand out all day, but at some point you got to turn the wheel. Right? God is saying, do this, and you got your hand out. You've got to take action when God speaks to you. Laziness and apathy are two of Satan's most effective tools in destroying churches and Christians. Those two will kill this local church long before bankruptcy or apostasy. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here is lazy, so don't go out here saying, oh boy, the pastor said we're all lazy. No, I'm not. But all of us know that there is an area of our life where God has come to us and said, let's do something, and we've said, right? Because you know what? It takes effort to turn. And sometimes it's really kind of hard. We were coming home last evening, and we got to drive through the storm. And I told Linda, I'm glad we're in the truck, because if we'd been in the car, we'd have probably gone tumbleweeding across the field. It was really exciting there for a little while, you know. And she says, should you slow down? What's up with that? Why would I slow down? To have control of the truck? Here's a white line. And here's a dotted white line. I'm in my area. I got control. See? Well, now the idea's been put into my mind. She's a little concerned, right? What am I going to do? I got to slow down. Hey, are you sensitive to your wife's needs? Yeah. Contradiction there, you get my point? So you got to understand. I can dream, I can want so much to be with our grandchildren. I can just want that as much as anybody wants anything. But you know what? Until we get in a car and either drive to where they are or buy a plane ticket and fly to Dallas, it ain't gonna happen. Whatever it is that God's been talking to you about, isn't going to happen until you actually take some action. You see, until we actually do something, even God can't change us. One of the things we're studying in Sunday school is God does not force His will on anybody, because He created us to be free beings. We have freedom of choice. So God gives us the opportunity, but God does not force us to take it. So, beloved, let me ask you something. Is it possible that all you need to do to turn a dream in reality is just go to Jerusalem? Maybe you just need to get up and do it. Now watch, watch. Nehemiah understood where the vision came from, where the idea came from. He was available to God. He was walking with God. And when God told him what it was, he said, well, I need to go to Jerusalem. So he took the appropriate action. Number three, Nehemiah made an investigation. I want to tell you three things that I think are necessary in checking out what it is God's telling you to do. Number one, it was personal. It was personal. Nehemiah went himself. He didn't send somebody else. Listen carefully. Nehemiah was not going to let rumors or gossip or false information to lead him astray. He wasn't going to listen to other people. He was going to check it out for himself. Now, let's put a positive spin on that. Life with the Lord is wonderful. Walking with God on a daily basis is just more blessing than you can handle. I mean, even in your problems, you understand God will see you through it. Well, now I have two choices, don't I? I can say, yeah, right, it works for you, and leave it alone. Or I can make a personal investigation and say, let's try it out and see what happens. So Nehemiah went to Jerusalem. What did he find when he got there? A dump. Shambles. Nice temple. Rest of the city in ruins. And so he's looking at it and saying, wow, this is worse than I thought. And so you begin to wonder what all went through his mind. The point is, he personally examined the condition of the walls. You, not someone else, should dig into the Scriptures and personally let God talk to, or let God talk to you personally and show you personally just what it is that He's got in mind, how He's going to work in you and work through you to develop in you the workman that He wants so you can do the works He's planned for you to do. Number two, his investigation was secret. Verse 16 says, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials. By the way, if you remember, the priests, nobles, and officials were against the whole thing from the beginning. So he didn't say anything to him. He said, or any others who would be doing the work. When God puts a dream into your heart, He puts only that which you can do into your heart. And when God speaks to our hearts, we know it instantly. We know it's God speaking. And when God speaks to us, it might be a good thing for us not to blurt it out right away. You've heard that, haven't you? Convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit comes and says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to give up all my swearing, all my anger, all my laziness. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And then shortly after breakfast, right? Boy, if I hadn't said anything. Can I just tell you, it's okay when God puts something into your heart, it's okay to question God. You think I'm telling you wrong? Read the book of Job. God, why? God invites us to talk about it. God wants us to come to Him. That's why Hebrews 4:13 14 says that we can come boldly, confidently, knowing that God is there waiting on us to talk with us. We can come to the throne of grace and lay our request before Him. Go talk to God about it. And God will minister to you in your heart. You and God get it worked out. You understand? It was a secret. He didn't tell all these people. Why? Why didn't He tell? Why did He keep it a secret? Why should you keep it a secret? I got two words for you. One is dream stealer. The other is naysayer. Right? God spoke to me. Say that to somebody sometime, doesn't it? God spoke to me. Whoa. That's weird. Okay? You go talk with God about it. Now listen very carefully. You go talk with God about it. God will answer your prayers. God will talk to you. God will give you answers. And I'm going to say it again. The first way God is going to help you understand is through the Word. You need to be reading the Word in an organized fashion so God is so you're available for God to speak to you. God is not going to part the heavens. He'll talk to you through your word, through His Word. Listen carefully. When you have that part taken care of, when you've talked with God about this, you say, man, all right. Then if you want to share it with someone, listen carefully. Go find a brother or sister who's walking with the Lord and share it with them. And they'll get excited with you. They'll pray for you. They'll encourage you. And you begin whatever it is, and as God wants you to make it more public, He'll show it in your life, and people will begin to come to you. Nehemiah didn't go telling everybody what it was about. He checked out the situation, and he saw the scope of it. He said, wow, this is going to take a day or two. And then number three, his investigation was thorough. His investigation was thorough. Scriptures tell us he went all the way around the city. The rubble was so bad in some places he had to get off his horse and lead his horse through. Wasn't enough room to ride it through. They had to be real careful where they walked. And he made a thorough investigation. Dave Ramsey, probably many of you know him or at least listen to him, says this. He says, the only difference between a dream and a goal is a plan. A dream and a goal is a plan. And he's right. A lot of Christians dream, but they never have a plan. If I have a dream and I say, man, I want to, you know what, I'd like to do something that I think would be interesting. So I'm going to go out here at the church sign right out here, and I'm going to stand, take a softball, and I'm going to heave it, and I'm going to heave it over the caution light. You say, that's pretty noble. See? Good luck, old man. Right? Now, so it falls about the other end of the building. And I can adopt the common philosophy and say, well, that's a dumb dream. That didn't work. Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing, and I sure can't do that, so I'll just give up and go do something else. I sure thought God wanted me to heave that ball. That's the way I live my life. I tried. Didn't work for me. You see, if I'm willing to give God half a chance and I'm willing to make a thorough investigation, I might do some different studies. I might learn how to throw. I might study some physics. Not likely. I might check it out. And then at some point, I might say, well, let's take that same dream and try something different. So I get out here and I wind up. Now I've done some exercises, okay? And I heave that rascal just as hard as I can heave it. And this time it goes clear to the house next door. Progress. So if I walk to that ball and I pick it up, then I heave it again. And walk to it and pick it up and heave it again. One time, I'm going to pick it up and heave it, and it'll go over the caution light, won't it? Well, now, guess what I did? I threw a ball over the caution light from the church, huh? Listen, after my thorough investigation, I went back with some new perspective, and this time, I had a plan. And I had a plan that worked for me, and when I threw the ball the first time, that was just the first step. And that got me somewhere. And when Nehemiah went to the wall and looked around, he saw how big the project was going to be. And he probably thought, wow, this is serious. And then began to make a plan. And he let the Lord help him. So you pick the ball up and throw it again. Now, I've done it twice. If I go over here and I say, well, that's not much further than I threw it the first time. No, but it's twice as far as where I started. Right? I wanted to control my temper. The Lord laid that on me, and I went a whole day without losing it. And then after breakfast the second day, I lost it. Or found it, whichever way you want to put it. Yeah, but you went a day, didn't you? You know you can do that. Yeah, okay. Well, I might try a little harder next time. Are you with me? Do you understand? Do you see what's going on here? This is a gargantuan thing. This is not going to happen overnight. Nehemiah understands that building the wall is the goal, and it's not for him, it's for God. That's the ultimate goal. This is the city of God, the city of David. This is where Scripture teaches one day that in the new earth, when the new heaven and new earth are established, the city of Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. And that'll be the capital of all creation. From there, God will rule. But until then, Nehemiah understood it's where his people meet with God. And it's for him that I'm doing this. It's for Jerusalem. What could you do, guys, for your family? What could you do for your family if you let God just work the dream inside your heart? Could I be like Christ? God wouldn't have told you you can. God wouldn't be making you like Christ if it was impossible. Could I learn the scriptures? Yep. Could I be the spiritual leader? Yep. Oh, but that's just, okay. Could I influence others for Christ? Yes. Could I take the lot that I'm dealt? It looks impossible. How am I ever going to get out of this? One step at a time. I don't believe there's a Christian alive that God doesn't come to them privately and put a big dream in their heart. And so I would challenge you to ask God, help me understand that. Remind me one more time what it is. Some of you are thinking about it right now. It's come to your mind. It's so there. Why not take appropriate action? Give God the chance to do something. And then you get up and do what you need to do. Maybe you just need to go get the ball. God will show you. And you begin to check it out. Check it out. God, help me understand. And beloved, when you do that, God will take great pleasure in coming to you personally and pouring out blessing into your lap in good measure, pressed down, running over, more than all you could ever ask or imagine, and you will say, I never dreamed it could be this good. Amen. God can, and God wants to, through you. Our Father God, we ask that you will apply these truths from your word to our heart. We pray that you will meet with us as individuals. We pray that you will help us to understand you are the sovereign God in control of our lives. You have it planned. It is your work. We are your workmanship. So, Father, meet with us. Encourage us. Help us to understand that we might realize the great power that you have to supply all our needs and do great and wonderful things through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.